So, if you like to follow along, I'm going to be in the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to be speaking from John chapter 1, the whole chapter. It's a good chapter. It's a very good chapter. I think it actually might be one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. I made a list of things in John chapter 1 to decide them, to relate them to you. My title, Paul, is Titles of Jesus. And it's just John chapter 1, in John chapter 1. Titles of Jesus in John chapter 1, because I counted them, and I come up with 13 different titles that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And two of them I just said in His name, Lord and Christ, but there's more. So let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to try not to be too lengthy, but there's a lot of stuff here. We'll just have to roll. Okay. First one is in chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus is the Word, and Jesus is God. So in the first verse, there's two of them. In the first verse, we have two titles, the Word and God, and Jesus is both. Both. Now, John just states this as a bold fact. You understand? There's no question here. There's no speculation here. There's no hesitation. This is just a boldly stated fact. In the beginning was the Word. Now, if you look back just for a second to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was where? In the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You understand? Jesus Christ is the one of whom all the prophets wrote. Jesus Christ is the one to whom all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament point. He is the Word of God. The Logos is the word there. But this is the thing. He is the Word, and the Word is God. He is God. He is the Word of God, because I'm going to tell you something. While Jesus Christ was here, He never spoke one lie. He always told the truth. When He was 12 years old, He was in the temple, confounding, perplexing, stumping the doctors of law in the temple where the big religious people would hang out. Those scholared, these were doctors of law, the law of God, not Jewish law, not Roman law, the law of God. And they were astounded by His questions and His answers, at 12 years old. He never spoke a single word wrong. He is the Word of God, the Word of God. And Hebrews 1 and 2 puts it this way, speaking of Jesus, says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also, what? He made the worlds. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? Or by whom? By the word of God.
Amen.
The word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he's writing of Jesus. Oh my. Jesus, the Word spoke to men. By the will of the Father, according to the will of the Father, and exactly in the will of the Father. Oh my. And the worlds were framed by him. The word of God. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And in earth. What's that mean? That means Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Oh, the Word made the worlds and has all power. All power. Excuse me. So we read it in Genesis 1. The scripture plainly states that God created the heaven and the earth. And the apostles clearly state that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, created the heavens and the earth. And people want to have a party on his birthday. That's what they're looking forward to. I see those signs still every year. Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Our Lord didn't have a birthday. Jesus was born, but the Son was given. The Word was manifest in the flesh. And dwelt among us. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's verse 3. Oh, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Preached unto the Gentiles. Believed on in the world. Oh my. And what is it we believe? We believe that he is God. We believe that he is God. If you believe not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, there's nothing of God in you.
Amen. That's
right. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says this, and for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. For him. And he is before all things. All things. And by him all things consist, exist, and continue to exist. This Jesus of whom John writes is God with us, Emmanuel, God with us, because Jesus, the Word, is God. Now, the second one is in John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, just said it. All things by him were created. By him and for him they were created. And by him all things consist. All life comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is the life. The life. He is life, and in him was life. And he is the giver of life. By him all things consist. Oh, John 11 and 25, further on in John, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. The life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Live. I'm going to tell you something. By Jesus, the Word, Jesus, God, Jesus, the life, what? The dead shall live. The dead in trespasses and in sins shall live. Those spiritually dead, if they live, it's because of Jesus Christ. He is the life, because this is the life of God, and it's in Christ Jesus and nowhere else. He is the giver of life. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The life. Then he didn't stop there. No man, no man, no man cometh, where? Unto the Father, but by me. Oh my, that's good stuff. The life is the way to the Father. And Jesus is the life, the life. Because he's the only, the one true way. What did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the source of all true life. And no man comes to the Father except by him. The way, the truth, and the life. Oh my, I like that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, the Word of God, speaks life to his people. He speaks life. Oh, I like that. To a man or a woman, and that man or woman comes to him. Comes to him. Oh, my. I gave you an example last week, Lazarus. When he was standing in front of that tomb, that's where one of these statements was made. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He was talking to Lazarus' sisters. And he said, Lazarus! And I'm going to tell you right then and right there, Lazarus came to life. Amen. Lazarus came to life. But he didn't stop there. He said, come forth. Come forth. He had him roll the stone away before he called him. You know why? Because he's coming out of that grave. When the Word of God speaks, man obeys. Amen. Now, man may not like that. Man may not want that. But that's the way it is. He speaks. The Word of God speaks. And he is obeyed. Oh, you know why? Because Jesus is the life. Now, look at verse 7. This is speaking of John the Baptist. Well, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. The light. That all men through him might believe. John the Baptist came for a witness of the light. The light. Another title of Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that. And John the Baptist did witness of the light. Where is it? That's going to be another one. But it says of John, verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. What's he say about that light? That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, you might think there might be a little bit at odds here. It says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the light whether you see him or not. Amen. And he lights up men. He sees men for exactly what we are. I'd say good and bad, but there ain't no good in us. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But he lights every man. But not every man can see it. Only the ones the word speaks the words of the life to can see the light. Man is blinded naturally. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. That's why he can't know them. He can't know them. For they're spiritually discerned. Oh my. And if our gospel be hid, the gospel we preach, the gospel you hear, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to the lost. Whom, what? The God of this world hath blinded their minds that they can't see. They can't see. But that doesn't mean Jesus is not shining. He's the light. He always shines. We're just usually too dead to see it. That's where most people are. You understand, I was listening to Henry on the way up here. He was talking about how the world doesn't understand the child of God. But the child of God understands the world. We were in it. We were part of it. Now he called us out of the world. And we are no longer of the world, but we are still in the world. And they don't understand why you drive this far to come here. They don't understand why I would drive this far to preach here. And more importantly, I come to listen. But you understand, I am, you've done it. You've been in other churches and other places, most of you. I know you guys had Earl from the beginning. Rats. No, it's a blessing from God. You didn't have to hear the nonsense I heard, trust me. And others have heard. Understand, when you've seen the light, you don't want to see anything else. When you hear the word of God, you don't want to hear anyone else. Oh my. Jesus is the light. Oh. John 8 verse 12, he said this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me," here, now this is great, "he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Now, is there any question there? Any doubt there? Oh, no. "But shall have the light of" what? "Of light of life." Oh, my. And Jesus is the light, and Jesus is the life. Oh, my. What did he say? I'm going to tell you this. "Those who have heard the voice of the word of God have now the light of life." Amen. "And they shall not." They shall not walk in darkness. Now that's not saying you won't stumble. That's not saying you won't trip over your own feet if nothing else. Because trust me, you are your own worst enemy. Some days, I am my own worst enemy. Most days. But this is the thing. You shall not walk in darkness. Even as you stumble and even as you fall, I'm going to tell you, you know where you're supposed to be. You know where you'd like to be. You may have gone this way, but he'll bring you back. And if you fall, he'll pick you back up. He upholds us with his hand. You will not be utterly cast down, though you fall. And he will put your feet on the right path. Because here it is, what he says, "They follow the light." They follow the light. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but they shall walk.
Yeah.
They will walk. Not going to walk in darkness, but they're going to walk. Oh, I like that. And they shall have the light of life. Those that follow Christ have Christ. The light and the life. And Jesus is the light. Now, verse 14. This is, I guess, number 5. Verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. But here's the title here in verse 14, the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father. Now, believers are called children of God because now ye are the children of God. But there's only one only begotten of the Father. And that's Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what it is. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the only one. There's only one, the only begotten of the Father. John 1 and verse 18, he says it again. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Father has one begotten Son, one begotten, and his name is Jesus. The believer is, like I said, a child of God. He, Jesus, is not ashamed to call us brethren, his brothers and sisters. We are heirs of God, but we're joint heirs in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're joint heirs with Jesus. Oh my, I like that. He's the only begotten. Well, let's take a minute here. John chapter 3, for me, I just turned a page. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, of the Father. Now, believe on him. Who? The only begotten of the Father. Jesus, the Word of God, God himself manifest in the flesh, the light, the life. Oh my. And here, the only begotten of the Father. He that does not believe is in darkness. He's condemned already. You understand, people, you don't want to get condemned to hell. You already are. You want to be saved from that. You want to be called into his marvelous light. What? Translated out of darkness and into the light of his kingdom, into the kingdom of his dear Son. His what? Only begotten Son, only begotten of the Father. Because he that does not believe is condemned already. That's what the scriptures state. You don't have to go looking for condemnation. It's in you. It's in you. Oh my. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Now, look at the sixth one. This is in verse 17. I hate to warn you, folks, there are 51 verses in John chapter 1. You know that. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Word of God, Jesus who is God, Jesus is the Christ. The Christ. This is the first place John says that. Christ is a title. You understand me? The Messiah. The anointed one. The one prophesied in the Old Testament. Now here walking in the flesh on this earth is the Messiah. The one the Jews had all been looking for. And that when he came, what? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And he's the Christ. He's the Christ. He's the Christ. There is no other Messiah. This is the one who was anointed by the Father. Matthew 16 and verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Jesus asked him a question, who do you think I am? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did Jesus have to say about that? He said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Why? For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You understand, believing Jesus is the Christ is not the work of the natural man. It's a work of the Spirit of God by the Word of God speaking life to your hearts and hearing his gospel preached that Jesus is the Christ, and you know it in your heart and in your mind and in your very being, that this man, this God-man, is the Christ of God, the one of whom all these Old Testament scriptures pictured and told about and prophesied. He's coming. The Redeemer's coming. The Messiah is coming. The Lord of hosts is coming. And now, he's here. He's here. And his own received him not. But some did. Some did. Oh, I like that. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The promised Redeemer of the children of God, chosen and sent of God, anointed by the Holy Ghost, came down in the form of a dove. This is my beloved Son. Oh my. The promised Redeemer of the children of God, Jesus is the Christ. Now the seventh one is in verse 23. Now, he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. The Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. This is also the words of John the Baptist. He said in verse 20, he confessed, John the Baptist confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. But he said, I am one of voice cry, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Oh, I like that. Jesus is Lord. That used to be a bumper sticker for a while. Back in the days when everyone was getting born again. They had Jesus is Lord. And I said, I wish he believed it. Put it on their car. They put it on billboards. You don't see it so much anymore. You don't see it so much anymore. You know why? Because ain't nobody talking about him. Yeah, that's right. Not his Lord. They'll talk about him, or they think they're talking about him. But if you leave out the fact that he's Lord, you're leaving out who he is. You're leaving out who he is. Because let's be clear, Jesus is the Lord. And I'm saying capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Oh my. You understand? Stephen, when he was getting ready to get stoned, saw him, where? Standing on the right hand of God. And Stephen, it says in there in Acts chapter 7, Stephen called upon God, saying, how did he say? How did he call upon God? Saying, Lord, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, what? Receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. Paul wrote down in Romans 1 and verse 3, Paul wrote concerning the gospel of God, talking about the gospel of God. He said, it's the gospel of God, in verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. All throughout the book of Romans, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ or Jesus is Lord. I'm just going to read you a couple of them. Romans 5 and verse 1 says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 5 and 11 says this, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement, the atonement. Oh my. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Redeemer. Our Redeemer is Jesus. That's a title you won't see in John chapter 1, but it's still a title. The Redeemer. The Lord of hosts is his name. Yeah. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is not only is Lord. Oh my. All right. Next one. In verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold. Behold. Behold who? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the eighth title of Jesus in the book of John. John chapter 1. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now all throughout the Old Testament, you'll see lambs everywhere, offered as sacrifices in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, offered by whoever. All throughout the Old Testament, every one of those lambs sacrificed, every one of those lambs whose blood was shed was a picture leading to, pointing to this man. Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. You understand? Jesus, Paul wrote it, Christ, our Passover. He's the one that came between us and God. And it's his shed blood. Oh my. That is in between us and God. And God will not touch one who's covered under his blood. No, not one. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Passover, the true Passover. He's the burnt offering. He's the sin offering. He's the atonement sacrifice. Every drop of blood shed in the Old Testament points to this Lamb right here. Amen. Walking on this earth. Jesus, the Lamb of God. And I'm going to tell you something. You look at, Walter did this, and you look at the Lamb of God in the book of Revelations. Oh, I'll give you a few of them. I love these. Saying with a loud voice, this is Revelations 5 and 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Revelation 7 verse 10 says this, and cried with a loud voice saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb of God. Oh. Revelation 7 verse 14, it says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. Where? In the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7 verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Shall feed them. And shall lead them. Shall lead them. Unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm going to tell you something. We have no salvation without the Lamb of God. He is our salvation. Jesus, Joshua, Yahshua, Yeshua, Savior. Oh my. Revelation 21, 22. I'll give you this last one. He says, and I saw no temple therein. I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Jesus is the Lamb of God. I mean, it's, you know, he is the one which took away the sin of his people. Call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sin. How'd he do it? By being the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. The death of Jesus Christ, the death of the Lamb of God, was not an afterthought. It was prophesied all through the Old Testament. It was set up in covenant love between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit before the world ever was. This is nothing new, folks. People think we're making up stuff. No, this is nothing new. This is old stuff. Old stuff. From before the beginning of the world. Oh, my. Verse 34. We're up to number 9. Verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. The Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word is the Son of God. In Isaiah, he was prophesied. Again, in the Old Testament, prophesied. A child is born. The Son is given. Amen. How's he given? He's the only begotten of the Father. And it says it in another place I read, verse 18. The only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. Oh, my. Mark 1 and verse 11 reads this, and there came a voice from heaven saying of Jesus Christ, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased. This is the strange thing. Even the unclean spirits recognized him as the Son of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But the unclean spirits knew who he was, or knew a little bit of who he was. As in Mark 3:11, says, and unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. Now, I understand unclean spirits may not be the best reference that you want, but it was true. It was true. But how about the words of God himself? Go back to John 3, verse 18. What did he say? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of who? The only begotten Son of God. Christ said that. You understand, folks? He wasn't kidding. He was telling the absolute truth. And his own received him not. Oh, my. The man who had been blind from birth, bless you. After John 9 and verse 35. This is the man who had been blind from birth. Jesus had given him his sight, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing. And then the Pharisees and the other ones wanted to talk to him, and that didn't go well for that gentleman. They actually cast him out. Verse 35 says this, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? Oh, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And. He worshiped him. He worshiped him. The Son of God. He said, oh, Christ never said he was the Son of God. Yeah, he did right there. He did. Y'all just don't want to read it. They don't want to know it. And if they did read it, they wouldn't believe it anyway. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I'm going to have to pick up the pace here, folks. Verse 38. Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi. Which is to say, being interpreted, Master. Where dwellest thou? This is one of them things people don't like. Jesus is Master. Master. Oh. And I'm going to tell you something. He's the master of all men. He said, Father, thou hast given me power over who? Over all flesh. To give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. Oh, my. Oh, Jesus did. He acknowledged himself right here. John 13 and verse 13. Ye call me Master and Lord. Ye say well. You said the right thing if you call him Master and Lord. Why? For so I am. He's Master. Matter of fact, he told us about some in a parable now, mind you. Tells us, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. You understand? They'll take a Savior Jesus. They'll take a sweet baby Jesus in a manger. They'll take everything in the world except for the one that's going to reign over you. They won't have him as Master. They won't have him as Lord. Oh. They hate the light and love darkness. But he is Master whether you love the light or not. He is Master whether you love darkness or not. He said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Jesus is master. Verse 45, he's called Jesus of Nazareth. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Oh my. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? If it comes from the Lord, yes. If it is the Lord, oh yes. Oh my. Matter of fact, Peter, when he was preaching to Cornelius, said these words, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him, Jesus of Nazareth. Peter used this title to let people know he was preaching of the one who had been known in Israel as Jesus of Nazareth. The Son of God, the Lord God, manifest in the flesh. Matter of fact, Paul was relating his conversion experience, and he was relating what God said to him, what Jesus Christ said to him. And this is Acts 22 and verse 8. He says, and I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. I want to know which Jesus you're talking about. Does that make sense? Yeah. Most of the Jesus I hear on TV, I don't know who they're talking about. You know? Well, he's not master. He's not Lord. He's not king. He's not even much of a savior. He made it available or he made it whatever. No. This is the Jesus of Nazareth we're talking about right here. Verse 49, number 12. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He's the King. He's the King of Israel. Matter of fact, in this one you see two of the old title, other titles reused, Rabbi, Master, and Son of God. Yeah, this one, King of Israel. And you know what? All three are true. All three are true. All at the same time. John chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. The King of Israel did come in the name of the Lord. Now, these people may have turned on him the next day, but that doesn't make what they said untrue. Right there, they were speaking the truth of God because he is the King of Israel. Matter of fact, here it is proclaimed, Israel has a king, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Oh, my. Jesus of Nazareth, Son of God, Lamb of God, Jesus is King of Israel. I'm going to tell you something. He's even more than that. He's even more than that. 1 Timothy 6 and 15 says this, which in his times, in his own good time, in his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, my. Matter of fact, it's written. When he's coming back, it's going to be written on his thigh and on his vesture. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matter of fact, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's the King of Kings now. He's the Lord of Lords now. Because Jesus is the King of Israel and more. Verse 51. I think this is the last one. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man. Wait a minute. You said he was the Son of God. No, I didn't. The Scripture did. The Scripture does. Yes, Jesus is of Nazareth. And Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. And Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the God-man. I still remember when Earl first was saying that. Adam Kadmon, the God-man. Why? Only God can save, but only man can die. And he is the Son of Man also. The Messiah was prophesied in the Old Testament as a man. A man that would come. The son that was given. The child that was born. What did he call? Emmanuel, God with us. And it says in John chapter 1, he came and he dwelt with us. The Son of Man. Oh my. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do both. Be the perfect substitute for our sins and suffer and die and shed his blood and die for our sins. And he bore our sins in his body, his man body, on the tree. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a myth. Don't watch the History Channel lately, folks, I'm telling you. If it's not aliens, they're talking bad about religion. Well, they're talking bad about Christ is what they're doing. They talk good about Catholicism. I don't know what's wrong with these people. This is the Crusade Tower, the Crusade Castle. I'm thinking, and I looked at my wife, I said, oh, it's the murder place. Do you know what the people did during the Crusade? But that doesn't matter. It's just, you know, anyhow. He came to shed his blood for us. And he did shed his blood as the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Oh, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. There's no way to God without the shed blood of Christ. Amen. There's no way to God without Christ dying for our sins. And there's no way God could die for our sins without also being a man. And this was, like I said, this was the purpose and plan of God from the beginning. From the beginning. Oh my. Jesus is the God-man, having in himself both natures, perfectly. Both natures and both perfect. Oh my. We got a human nature, but it ain't perfect. We're men, but we're not perfect. And he kept the whole law as a man. As a man. And was the acceptable sacrifice for sin. Jesus is the Son of Man, as well as the Son of God. Now here it is. Jesus is the Word, the God, the life, the light, the only begotten of the Father, the Christ, the Lord, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Master, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Israel, and the Son of Man. And that's in one chapter, the first chapter of the book of John. This is who Jesus is, period. Now, but that's not all. You understand? That's not some of the scriptures I read to you had other titles. I am the resurrection and the life. Oh my. I'm going to tell you something though. It doesn't matter what men think of Christ. It matters who is the Christ. Amen. It's this Jesus. This Jesus. What we think, what we want, and I'll say it, what we pray does not change Jesus Christ. Ever. Ever. He is who he is. I am that I am. And he is who he is. And here's the thing, with all these titles, Jesus Christ is all of this all the time. At one time. We can't comprehend it. It took a whole chapter just to write them down just for a little bit. And there's more. There's more. I got it in here. I wrote some of them down. He's the resurrection. He's the beloved. He's the elect. He's the precious. He's the preeminent. He's the perfect one, the provider, and he's the provision.
Amen.
I like that. Not only is he the provider, he's your provision. To put it plainly, Jesus Christ is all and in you all. He is all. He's given us his perfection. His righteousness is both imparted and imputed to his people. He is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. God made him that unto you. God has made him unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And you know why God did that? Because of God, you are in Christ Jesus. Oh, I like that. Oh. Happy are they that hear the voice of the word of God. I'm going to leave, I got a verse here from Isaac Watts. The sovereign King of kings, the Lord of lords most high, writes his own name upon his garment and his thigh. His name is called the Word of God. He rules the earth with iron rod. And that's the truth. He is all of these things and more. Those are just his titles. But those titles describe who he is. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time, this place. Lord, help us. Help us to walk in your word and to walk in the light. Guide our path, guide our footsteps, strengthen us in your way. As we go forth in this world distracts us and obsesses us in some ways. Lord, help us to be more like you every day, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to think upon these things daily, to think upon you, and give you the thanks and honor due unto you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.